First book of Peter. First Peter, we'll read in chapter 3. First Peter 3 and verse number 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And we look to the Lord further for his blessing upon his word. It's quite a thing, isn't it, that as Peter's writing here, he is writing, if we look at the evidence in the epistle, he is writing to people who are suffering. And as he writes, he has an antidote. There is something that he applies to the hearts of those Christians who are suffering. In every chapter, he mentions the sufferings of Christ. The amazing thing is, whether it's those who are saved or whether it's those who are in their sins, the same thing applies to both. We have a message, and the message is so great, so grand, it tells of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And Peter tells us here, he says, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just one for the unjust ones, that he might bring us to God. This is the message we are preaching, the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Christ also hath once suffered for sins. And so as we look at the text very quickly, I want to look at the person. Because right here on the surface of the text, Peter tells us of his person. He tells us who we are speaking of. He tells us of the one we are announcing. He tells us of the one we are preaching of. He says, Christ. You know what, friend? This is the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament Messiah. In other words, this is the one appointed by God for the throne. We are preaching of one who is, who always was, who ever will be, the Son of God. Now I know this is disputed. I know there are people, and they come, and they knock our doors, and they say, well, yeah, he was just a son. That's not what the Bible says. Listen to the Word of God, already quoted. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You know what, friend? The one we are preaching of this very night is the Son of God. I like to tell the story of the little guy. It was his first day at Sunday school, and his mom poured into him all week that text I quoted, John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Every day, she went over the text with him. Sunday came. She said to him, John, you're going to Sunday school. What's your text? And he said to her, Mom, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. She said, good. And he started to walk. He's walking down the street, just walking to the little hall, just at the bottom of the hill. And as he's walking, he's reciting his verse over and over and over again. And he passed an old skeptic, just sitting at the door of his home. He passed the old skeptic. And the old fellow says to him, son, you go into that hall down there? Yeah, he says, mister, I am. He says, is that what they've told you to tell them today? That verse of scripture? Yes, he says, sir, it is. He says, son, that person was only a good man. Oh. And little John stopped with him. He says, only a good... Yeah, he says he was only a good man. And the little fella stopped and looked at him. He said, sir, in the beginning was the good man. And the good man was with God. And the good man was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You know what, friend? The one we are preaching of. He is both good, but he is God. Ah, his uniqueness. We've already heard it. Five times in John's writing. The only begotten Son. The unique Son. The only Son of God. And yet, friend, this is the one we are preaching. His person. Christ. We are preaching of the Son of God, the Lord from heaven, who himself is the glory of the Father, came from on high, came into the world. His the throne of heaven.
Yet he comes on earth to plead. And for man, his life is given. This is what declares indeed our God is love. If you want to see a demonstration of the love of God, friend, he gave his only begotten Son. And so right in the text, we have his person. Not only do we have his person, but Peter tells us of his provision. He says, Christ also hath once suffered for sins. And here we are in our sins. Here we are far from God. Here we are exposed to this law which condemns us. Which before God says, these people, they will never be with God. They will be in hell. And God says, listen, there is a mighty provision. And the provision is Jesus Christ. As I look at his provision, the first thing I see is this. His provision, it was foretold. You remember, away back, away in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember? Well, you don't remember. But you've read the account. Adam sins against God. You know what? Had you and I been there, and we see Adam take of that fruit, sin against the God of heaven, you know what we would have said? God's purpose is in ruins. God's plan is in ruins. What will God ever do? You know the amazing thing? God already had a plan. God already had a purpose, an eternal purpose, that he would give his Son. And the first promise of the Messiah is given. Genesis 3:15. He is coming. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. He is coming. It was foretold. And you can go through, running through the golden grains of Holy Scripture. Every book. There are prophecies. There are pictures. There are things foretelling. He is coming. But he is coming with a provision. His death. Provisionary in its nature for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that what John tells us? I'm sorry to get onto this thing, but you know what? I acknowledged the other night, who could ever preach the gospel without preaching of a gospel for the whosoever will? And you know what? Even at that, that's a limitation on the gospel of God. Because there is not only a provision for the whosoever will, there is also a provision for every person who will not. You got that? A provision for the whosoever will. A provision for the whosoever will not. In the love of God. It was foretold. There through the scriptures, the death of Christ was foretold. Not only was it foretold, it was fierce. The anger of God, the fierce wrath of God. What do you say? You're getting words unscripted. No, no. Psalm 89. You read it for yourself. Do you know what Psalm 89 says? Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. He went through the wrath of God, the fierceness of the wrath of God for a provision for our sins. Not only was it foretold, not only was it fierce, it was final. Didn't we read it? Christ also hath once. The Bible says, once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin. Once suffered. The just for the unjust, to bring us to God. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, it was absolutely final. Upon that cross, he lifted his voice. It's recorded, the New Testament written in Greek, one glorious word, to tetelestai, done, finished, accomplished, everything done. You know what, friend? If you haven't got it before this, God help us. Sometimes when we preach the gospel, I get down and I think to myself, what a poor job I did up there. I preached. I tried to put energy into it. But you know what? Did I tell them of the Savior? Did I point them to Him? It's like that story of the Cunard liner crossing the Atlantic. And as it's crossing the Atlantic, a man fell overboard. Very soon, those crew members began to shout, man overboard! Man overboard! And it took them a mile to turn that liner. To bring it back to where they lost the man. On board that liner, they had lamps. And those lamps were of varying power. And they started to focus those lights on the water to try and locate that man. They had one giant light, brighter and bigger than all the rest. And they focused it on the water. And at last they saw. There he was, thrashing in the water. And the captain shouted. The captain said, throw on the life belt. And the life belt went into the water. And there he was, thrashing, trying to get the life belt. But he was blinded by the light. You know what the captain said? The captain shouted to those crew members. The captain said, "Men, take the spotlight off the man. Put it on what will save him." And they transferred that light, transferred it to the belt, and he grasped for it, and he was delivered. You know what, friend? As we are preaching here in Midland Park, do you know what we want to do? Is take the spotlight away from two men who are preaching. Take the spotlight away from Christians who have gathered. We want solely to put the spotlight on the Lord Jesus, the only Savior. And the Bible says, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, his provision. I see in the text his perfection. It says, the just for the unjust. Now, I'm sorry to be technical, but I intimated that first word, just, is a singular word. It simply means the just one. The next word, unjust, is a plural word. It means the unjust ones. Do you know what we are preaching tonight? Christ, who himself, solely, singularly, was the just one, stepped into the place of sinners, the unjust ones, that he might bring us to God. Ah, friend, we are preaching of the absolute perfection of the Lord Jesus. Someone recommended a book to me. We were in a bookstore today. But a few months back, someone recommended a book. And I thought, yeah, I should buy it. Yeah, a few dollars. So I picked up the book. I'm not sure who it was, but they hadn't read the chapter on the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. And so one Lord's Day morning, I thought, yeah, that would be a nice chapter to read. And I started to read about the sinlessness of Christ. And they went through, and the author was doing a fine job, a really good job, until he got to John's epistle, 1 John 2. You know what he said? He said, John says, in him was no sin. And something clicked with me. I said, that doesn't sound right. I began to check the text, because John doesn't say that. John does not say, in him was no sin. Do you know what John says? In him is no sin. You know, friend, the one we are presenting is absolutely perfect. Absolutely spotless, stainless. The holy, spotless, perfect Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, who came to bear away the sin of the world. The amazing thing is, he came for me. That's the glory of the gospel. If there wasn't another sinner in this building, the glory of the gospel is, he came for me. And I well remember that night, going through that door. My wife teases me at times. I'm not sure if I told you that. She says, every time you preach, you tell them how you got saved. And more than that, you always tell it the same way. Going through my bedroom door. I said, what do you want me to do? Tell them I got saved in the kitchen? No, no, friend, listen to it. I'll never forget that moment. Only a boy, 16 years of age. I thought I was a man. Going through that door it came. It was for me. He was wounded. I am healed. The just for the unjust, that he might bring me to God. Ah, friend, the absolute perfection of the Lord Jesus. Not only have we his person, not only do we see his provision, not only in the text is there his perfection, we learn his purpose. That he might bring us to God. Do you know what he wants? He wants to have a people with him forever on that eternal shore. It's a wonderful thing. Maybe some people don't look that wonderful. At least some do. I'm not targeting you tonight, man. But there are some people here. And just looking through the audience, just their very countenance, do you know what it tells me? They are going to be with God. Must be a wonderful thing. One step. And Christians leave a hospital bed as that monitor is turned off. And they take the step and they're with God. Tell me, are you ready tonight? If God called, if that little pulse stopped beating, most of us 70 odd beats a minute. If that little pulse stopped beating, would you be with God? It was on the streets of Belfast, the city in which I was born. There was an old gospel preacher. He was a Scottish preacher. Quite the preacher. His name was David Craig. And he decided one night to have a street meeting. And there he was preaching, and darkness was falling and the rain started coming down. And he stepped into a doorway. And he thought to himself, that's the preaching over for tonight. Might as well forget about it. But something said to him, just quote some verses from Scripture. And he stepped out again. And in that lovely Scottish voice, he cried, if there's someone under the sound of my voice wanting to be saved, he said, cry the cry of the publican, Luke 18, God be merciful to me the sinner. And he went home. Didn't think anything about it. He went home, and over a year passed. He was in the same area of the city, maybe a year and 6 months later. And he went into a cafe for his breakfast. And someone came to them and said, you're Mr. Craig, aren't you? You're the gospel preacher. Yeah, he said, I am. They said, just last week, we had a man come in. He was a bum, but he told us his testimony. Just over a year ago, in a certain part of the city, he was making his way home, and he was drunk. And he thought to himself, there has to be something better than this. Has to be something more in life than this. And he said, oh God, if you are there, oh God, send someone with a message to tell me the way to heaven so that I can be with God. And he said, it started to rain. And I stepped into a doorway. And when the rain went off, suddenly out of the darkness, I heard a Scottishman's voice. And the Scotchman said, if you want to be with God, cry, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And he said, I got down on my knees in the little doorway. And I lifted up my voice. And I cried to God for the first time in my life. And I said, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And God saved me on the spot. What about it tonight? Listen, I am going to be with God. I am going to be with the Lord Jesus. I am going to sing that song. Tell me, are you going? Are you going to be in heaven? Are you going to join the song of the redeemed? Here it is, the purpose that he might bring us to God. There is one final thing. Not only in the text do we have Christ, his person, Christ, his provision, Christ, his perfection, Christ, his purpose to bring us to God. We have Christ and his power. Do you know what it says? He was put to death in the flesh. There came a moment at Calvary. After he cried, it is finished. He gave up the ghost. He gave up his spirit. He was taken down from the tree. And those disciples took him to the garden, took him. I've never been there. I believe you've been there. Must be quite a thing to gaze into that little tomb. Gaze into the garden tomb where they laid the precious body of Christ. Rolled the stone over the doorway, sealed it, and they left. Gently they take him down, unfix his hands, his feet, remove from his brow the thorny crown, bring forth the winding sheet, and they left him there in the tomb. Must have been quite a moment when God raised him from the dead. That's what we are preaching tonight. You see the text behind me? It is broken up with four words. And the word that is used four times. That Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried. And that he was raised from the dead. You know what we are preaching? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And he is at home now. He is in glory. God has received him. The amazing thing is, when he went into heaven, he was saluted by God. You think spiritual imagination, right? No, no. You know the amazing thing? Hebrews chapter 5, called of God. The word literally is salute. He went past angels and went on up. He went past seraphim and continued up. He went past cherubim and continued up. And he sat down on the throne of glory. And when he sat down on the throne of glory, God saluted him. Friend, we are preaching the absolute power of the Lord Jesus. Ascended into heaven. Angels, authorities, subject unto him. And he is able to save. The one we are preaching in the gospel is able, willing, and mighty to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him. Will you trust him tonight? In this gospel meeting, you've heard of the condemnation brought by the law of God. You've heard of the love of God. And now we present to you the only, the all-sufficient Savior. Listen to it. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God.
You trust Him tonight. You trust Him in this gospel meeting. And God will save you on the spot, right in the seat you're sitting. Shall we pray?